In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Scriptures assign many names to the eternal Son of God. Being eternal, He was there in the beginning with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is without beginning, and He is without end. Thus He is called Alpha and Omega. There was never a time when He was not with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So it shouldn't be a surprise to us that many of the names used for the second person of the Holy Trinity are found throughout the Old Testament. Last night from Isaiah 9, we heard the names Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. There is also Seed, as in the seed of Abraham, Ruler of Israel, Right Hand of God, Holy Arm, Wisdom. Listen to what wisdom says in Proverbs. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. We recognize some of these names right away, thanks to the prophets whom God sent to give them to us and the New Testament writers who recorded their connections to Jesus very explicitly. There's also some more familiar names to us from the Old Testament. Emmanuel, Redeemer, Lord. There are many other names given of the only begotten Son of God in the Old Testament. The one we know most intimately is the one that we heard last night in Matthew chapter 1, Jesus. But we'll get to that in a moment. The one before us this morning, the one the church has assigned to Christmas Day, is Word. He is the eternal Word. Ha Logos. That's the Greek letters that you see on the front of your bulletin this morning. The second person of the Trinity is known in the beginning of John's Gospel as the Word. And John immediately assigns a work to this Word. He assigns to Him the work of creation. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The second person of the Trinity was with God the Father from eternity, and then in time He participated in the creation of the world. The things visible and invisible, the heavens and the earth. And so we confess the eternity and the divinity of the second person of the Trinity in the Nicene Creed. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Here we confess the eternity of the Son, and then a work very much like John 1, creation. Grammatically, it might seem in the creed, by whom all things were made, modifies the Father. But we know from John 1 and also our reading from the Epistle to the Hebrews that the second person of the Trinity is Creator of heaven and earth along with the Father. The doctrine of the Trinity is a mystery, and it must be taken on faith. It is more complicated than our earthly minds can comprehend, can handle, and it can't be argued by reason, but is made known to us only by divine revelation alone. We know that God is three persons and yet one God. But we don't know how that can be. When Luther breaks up the Apostles' Creed into articles and assigns works to each of the three persons, he follows the example of Holy Scripture, which most closely associates various divine works with one person or another of the Holy Trinity for the sake of our finite minds. But we ought not divide the works of the Trinity in such a way as to exclude the participation of the other persons of the Trinity in all the divine works. Flowing from the mystery of the Trinity is the mystery of the incarnation of the Son of God. On Christmas Day, we celebrate the birth of the God-man, the eternal God, the only begotten Son, enters into his creation by joining himself to our flesh by the Virgin Mary. This was not the beginning of the only begotten Son, but rather the beginning of his life as a man. This mystery of mysteries is worshipped by Christians in faith, because again, reason cannot comprehend it. The one true God, eternal, without beginning and without end, immutable, unchanging, immortal, infinite, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is Trinity, but in a way that does not divide the divinity, the Son of God then became man in time, at the right hand taking up flesh and blood from Mary, never more to lay it aside. The Christmas proclamation is the foundation of our faith. It is the foundation of our hope in things to come. As we confess in the proper preface for today, for in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast given us a new revelation of thy glory, that seeing thee in the person of thy Son, we may be drawn to the love of those things which are not seen. So when the angel Gabriel announced to Mary, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, this angel was announcing that the Almighty God was going to become flesh in her womb, so that it is right to call her Son, to call her Son, the Son of the Most High. He would be eternal God, and thus able to rule on the throne of his father Jacob and reign over the house of Jacob forever. This was not a new revelation, as if these things had never been known before. But it is a more complete prophecy, more specific than had been given before. The prophets and patriarchs of the Old Testament had waited for this day. They were given glimpses of this fulfillment in the words from the Holy Spirit. But now these things were finally taking place. The prophets and patriarchs of old had known from God's revelation that God was Trinity, and that he would come in the flesh, born of a woman, in the line of Abraham, and in the line of Jesse and King David. This birth would bring blessing to the nations of the earth. They believed this, and it was counted to them as righteousness. And now on Christmas Day, we celebrate that these things have taken place in time through Mary and have been made known to us. Just like the Trinity was working creation, now the Trinity was working redemption. For the second person of the Trinity came into the world in the flesh and became our Savior. Now forevermore, Jesus will be God with us, Emmanuel, true God and true man. So now we worship the God-man, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. He has done something no other made-up God has ever done. He gave up his rightful glory in heaven and became one of us. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, not to rule over us as a tyrant, but to redeem us as a suffering servant. He laid aside and denied to himself the use of the powers that belong to him essentially as God, so that as a man, he could join us in the sinful world, take our sin, suffer, and die with it, remove it from us. In the Word becoming flesh, we see the beginning of the end of God's plan for redemption, the cross and the resurrection. For God, Christmas is always connected to Good Friday and to Easter, and so it should be for us also. This is what the angels announced, what the shepherds and the wise men worshipped, and what we confess and we believe. This is the awe and the mystery of Christmas Day. Our God so loved us that he became a man to rescue us. His name is Jesus. He is the gift on which All other gifts rest. Glory to God in the highest. For there is now peace for man and God's goodwill towards us in Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may rise for the offertory.